Welcome to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast, bringing you into a community in which everyone is welcome, lives are changing, and Jesus is King. Thanks for listening with us today. We would invite you to subscribe so you can keep up to date with us. But for now, we pray you enjoy listening to what God has in store for you in this episode, and that it helps change your life for the better. In Jesus' name, enjoy.
Well, good morning, everybody, and welcome to Hawley Baptist Church. And it's lovely to have you with us, whatever mode you're using to watch us today. We are very excited because we've got two very exciting things to tell you about. One is our sermon series, and we've got a new sermon series starting today, and it's all about heaven and eternity, eternal life. And I think it's got the potential to be life-changing because it's, you know, it's helping us, I think, to realise that heaven starts here, eternity starts here. So very excited about that and looking forward to what the various preachers will bring to us. And Sue's got something else really exciting to tell you about.
Yes, very exciting for us. Today, Hawley Baptist Church, we're changing to having two services a day if you wish to come to the service. And our online presence is going to be changing in the future as well. Actually, we're just doing a very short watching the sermon today, but in the future, in the next few weeks, we'll hopefully be introducing Zoom services. You'll be able to watch the service live via Zoom, but contact details will be sent out, and if you wish to contact and find out more, then you can contact the church. Okay, so I think we just watch the introduction to the sermon now.
Heaven. We all wonder about it. What's it like? Will we see loved ones again? And does it even matter for life today? But what if eternity isn't just about the future, but something we're already a part of? This series, we're diving into what the Bible really says about heaven and eternal life, and why it changes how we live right now. Because eternity doesn't start someday, it starts now.
Good morning, and it's great to see so many of you. Welcome to those who are listening or watching online as well. We started two services because we were struggling to get everybody in, and then this morning we put the partitions across the back and we struggled to get everybody in. So we're going to have to rethink that, but it's great to see so many of you here today. As Martin has said, we start a new series entitled Heaven, the Truth About Heaven and Eternal Life. And I wonder what your definition of heaven is or what you think it will be like. In fact, take 1 minute and turn to the person next to you, so you get 30 seconds each, and tell them one sentence of what you think heaven is like. If you don't want to participate, not a problem. Fold your arms, look at the screen, and the person next to you will read your body language. But if you are happy to, just person next to you, what do you think heaven is like? Go. Right, you've probably had your minute. So if I can ask you to come back into the room. I put our house group, our small group meets, we meet every other Wednesday, but we met the last Wednesday, and I put them on the spot and without warning said to them, tell me what do you think heaven is like, because I've got to preach about it on Sunday. And I got a lot of answers, and some of them were around what heaven isn't like or what there won't be. So there will be no suffering, no crying, no pain. It'll be a place of joy, a place where God is. My favourite answer, I don't know, but it will be perfect. And if you Google what is heaven, You get as many different answers as websites as you look at. It's the sky, the home of God, a transcendent realm where God reigns, the location of the throne of God, a new earth. And so it goes on. It's where God reigns. And before we go down too far down that route, and maybe it's something that may get picked up later in the series, I've got a question for you. Have you ever been in a car when that small voice peeps up from the back? Are we there yet? Or perhaps you yourself have been in a car as a passenger, or maybe even the driver, when you say to yourself, are we there yet? I can remember my elder daughter went to university in Dundee, nice and local, obviously couldn't wait to get away from her parents. And I can remember driving her up there with all the carload of stuff that apparently every university student needs before they start their first term. And our house was exactly 500 miles from Dundee University. And if you're a certain age, you'll think of a Proclaimer song. Anyway, I can remember thinking as we were going up the M6, we go past Birmingham, then past Liverpool and Manchester, into the Lake District, and you finally reach Scotland. And I can remember myself thinking, we must be nearly there. And yet the sat-nav says it's 150 miles to go and more than 2.5 hours. I wish that I was there. But it's not just in our car journeys that we can have these thoughts where we will wish we were there. There is this thing which I've called destination disease. And it's the feeling that things will get better in the future. So when you're a student, you think, when my exams are over, I can get a job and earn some real money. Now, when you've got a job, you think, I'll get a better job and earn proper money. Or maybe you think, when I've got that long-term partner to share my life with, then life will be so much better. And then it's when we have kids, our life will be complete. And then when we do have children and we've got those sleepless nights, we think to ourselves, when the kids are out of nappies, when they're at school, life will be so much easier. And then it's a bigger house and the next promotion. And when we have that holiday, when our grown-up children have finally left the house, when I don't feel responsible for my grown-up children and my aging parents, life will be so much easier. I can't wait till I retire. Have you had any of those thoughts? And the point is, perhaps we are never satisfied with where we are, and we're always looking towards the future. And the danger is we can bring that thinking into our church and into our theology. Many Christians will talk about heaven or eternal life in the context of when we die. So pardon the expression, heaven is pie in the sky when we die. It's what we're aiming for. It's the prize that we have been running this race for. It's our eternal home. And the danger becomes that if we believe that it's just that, then we start to live our life in that Jesus made this arrangement for us to get that ticket into heaven. It's our salvation ticket. And maybe you think that way. Because of Jesus, you're going to heaven. And you'll live in this place that's beyond all our imagination and that we struggle to describe. And providing you get your access ticket before the day you die, you're in. It's not a problem. And for those who are working, maybe it's a bit like your pension. It's reserved for you one day in the future. But you'll have to carry on working for it until that day, your retirement day, comes. Well, if that's how you think, and technically you're, of course, not wrong, Jesus is the way, Jesus did come as a means of our salvation. But if you're thinking that way, perhaps you're missing something, both in your thinking and the way you're living your life. We need to look at how Jesus described eternal life in the Bible. And he said in John chapter 17 and verse 3. Now this is eternal life, that they know you, and he's talking about God, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you've sent. That is eternal life. You see, there is no mention of the future. So what do we learn? We learn that eternal life is something not that we're waiting for. Eternal life is not something that is up ahead somewhere. Eternal life is not waiting for heaven, and then it all begins. But eternal life starts right now by bringing what is in heaven down to earth. Apparently, I'm known for having 3 points when I preach. So here's the first. God doesn't want you to get into heaven. Oh, that's slightly controversial. Let's have the second half. But he wants heaven to get into you. Steve, we've got the other half. The other half is quite important. Said for effect, because obviously God does want you to get into heaven. But maybe it should say, God doesn't want you just to get into heaven. He wants heaven to get into you. And Jesus says eternal life is a life with God that can start right now. Eternal life is a life for God that starts right now. Eternal life is a life under God's care that starts right now. Eternal life is life fulfilled with God. Eternal life is abundant life with God right now. Eternal life is living in fellowship with God right here, right now, a life that death cannot interrupt. So, when we become a Christian, when we become a Jesus follower, John is telling us that we can be with God and start our eternal life right now. I believe that David, one of the kings in the Old Testament, had it sorted. He wrote a lot of the Psalms, and it's believed he wrote David singing. David says this, "The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And David is saying that not because life is easy. Now, if you look at that, he talks about walking through the darkest valley. He mentions the need for comfort. He has enemies in his life. Indeed, someone is probably actually trying to kill him. And yet he says that I can, I'm in this good place. My eternal life has started because I know God. And that Psalm 23 is written in the present tense. So David has got a difficult life. Things are not going all his own way. And yet he can write about these things in the present tense. Only the last verse is written for the future. "Surely your good and loveness will follow me all the days of my life on this earth, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever in heaven." But the rest of it is written for his life at that time. And I wonder, is that you? Are you content with your life as it is? Getting out of your present circumstances? Or can you satisfy yourself that despite the difficulties you have, despite the troubles that come in your life, you know that you've got God with you? He is your rod and staff. I wonder if most of us think about heaven in quantitative terms. In other words, they think about a number, how big it is or how long it is. I wonder if it is better for us to think of heaven in qualitative terms. In other words, rather than thinking how big it is, we think about how good it is. Eternal sounds, I think to some people, and possibly myself, quite scary. It's forever, and it's longer than forever. But if rather than thinking about forever, we think about how good it is, the fact that we have God with us in his glory, then heaven to me becomes far more exciting, perhaps. In John chapter 10, it says this: the thief comes to only kill and destroy, but Jesus says, I have come that they, change that to you, I have come that you may have life and have it to the full. Jesus comes that we may have an abundant life, and that abundant life starts with us here on earth. In other words, and therefore my second point, and the second point is exactly about the same as the first, eternal life, heaven, is not about relocation, but transformation. Don't think about heaven in terms of you being here and in someday being relocated to wherever heaven is, but think about being transformed now on this earth. Jesus tells us in the Lord's Prayer, he starts off the first couple of paraphrases, sentences, whatever it's called. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Our Father in heaven. I don't know if that sounds a little distant to you. Our Father in heaven is a little way away. But then the next couple of sentences or next couple of paraphrases, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is praying that heaven will come down to earth, that we will transform this earth, we will transform ourselves, we will transform the people around us because we know of God's eternal life. So how does it look to bring heaven down to earth? Martin last week was speaking about relationships and relationship breakdowns. If you missed it, it's on YouTube. Or perhaps rather than ignoring the person that we have that relationship breakdown with, maybe we start the conversation. Maybe we pray for them. Maybe talk about them positively. Maybe we show love towards them. And maybe that is a little bit of heaven coming down to earth. And there's my third point, that we should be looking to bring a little bit of heaven down to earth now. So when you use your money to help fund God's kingdom rather than your own kingdom, when you use your time to help the poor, hungry, lonely, and those in need, then maybe we just see that glimpse of heaven coming down here on earth. There's a great verse in Micah, probably my favorite verse in the Bible, Micah chapter 6 and verse 2. What does God require of you? When he's talking about your worship, what does God require of you? He requires of you to love mercy, walk humbly, act justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with your God. And the more we can do that, the more we will experience God's abundant life here on earth now. So how do we start? Well, in Matthew, we read that Jesus went to speak to Matthew, the tax collector, and he said, follow me. He went to Simon and Andrew, the fishermen, and he said, follow me. He went to Philip, the rich young ruler, and he said, follow me. And we read in Mark chapter 8 and verse 24, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross, and follow me. In other words, we move away from my personal agenda, my kingdom, and we move into God's agenda and God's kingdom and God's eternal life. And we start to enjoy that abundant life that starts now, that comes from knowing God. And there's something that's been putting you off knowing Jesus for the first time. Or maybe you think, I'll put it off till nearer the day I die, so I can just go, I get that ticket and go to heaven. I would ask you to reconsider now that you are missing that abundant life, that eternal life that Jesus brings to us here and now. So, are we there yet? Well, in many ways, yes, we are there. We're not at that place where we will experience God's glory to the full, but we are where God has placed us, where you and I are invited, indeed we are called, to live that eternal life, that abundant life, to the full, knowing God. Eternal life starting now with a glimpse of heaven, whilst dealing with all the things that make us want us to be in that place in the future, but living with and in relationship with the living God, who calls us to bring heaven down to earth now, until the time when we will see him in all his glory. There's going to be some questions.
What is your understanding of eternal life? How does the fact that eternal life starts when you become a Jesus follower affect your actions? How can you bring a bit of heaven down to earth?
There's a lot packed
there
in there.
So much there, isn't there, to, you know, think about and consider for your own personal lives.
Yeah.
I mean, what was the first question? What is your understanding of eternal life? And I think that's really crucial for each one of us to think about and consider and maybe pray about, because Neil was saying how often we think of it as the place we're going to go to when we die.
It actually starts now.
But it actually starts now. Mm. And I loved an expression that he used about death does not interrupt it.
Yes.
So, you know, it starts now and it just continues when we get to heaven. Yeah. And, you know, there's quite a gap often between the two, isn't there?
And I think we're sort of tuned or behaviourally think, this is life now, that's life now.
Life then.
And death stops it.
Yes.
Actually, yeah. Death stops our life now, but actually,
yeah,
it does carry on, actually, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then that makes us think at that transformation in our lives now as well.
Yeah, and that's actually the other sort of amazing thing about it. The other thing I liked was heaven. Well, two things. Heaven is not about relocation, but transformation. And there was another one about God doesn't want you to get into heaven, which, of course, he does. We just clarify that straight away. Of course, he does. But he's more about wanting to get heaven into you. And I think that's lovely. And for me, it talks a lot about our relationship with Christ, because if we are living one kind of life on earth, and then we've got the heavenly life only when we get to heaven, that transformation is not really happening. And so it does, it for me, it has to come back to my relationship with Christ, my relationship with those around me. And, you know, the hope is that because of that, in fact, I heard a story the other day. I don't know if this is a true story or a little anecdote, but it kind of demonstrates it. It's there was a man that he was presumably quite rich because he took on a housemaid, and he wrote a list of rules and all the jobs that he wanted this housemaid to do, and she did them. And then he fell in love with her. And when that happened, he just ripped up the list of rules because he loved her, but she carried on doing those things because she loved him. And it feels a little bit like that to me, that if we've got that relationship with God and that love, we want to do things that bring that into our world. You know, in our families, right, you know, literally right into our homes.
So, and then if heaven's in our hearts or heaven's in our lives, then actually all our actions should be demonstrating that, really.
Yeah. And I think it's a journey, isn't it?
Absolutely.
You don't get there straight away.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
Do you know what I never considered? I was just went back to read Psalm 23 that Neil quoted. Actually, it's all in the present tense.
Yes.
Actually, it never struck me. And it's only heaven comes down to us. You do this for this. I will fear no evil because you are with me. Your rod and staff, they comfort me. And your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. So it's that future. But actually, that's what I never, ever considered that.
Because I always think of Psalm 23 as, you know, I do think about that. You restore my soul and you walk me by calm waters and things like that. It's a bit distant. It's a bit like picturing yourself in heaven,
exactly.
Not down here. And of course, then it says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. So it's can make you feel like it's all about when you get to heaven.
Exactly.
But actually, it's bringing heaven down to earth. And another thing that struck me was that, I don't know if you've ever heard this expression about the thin place between earth and heaven.
No.
I've heard many, many people like on online things that you watch talking about the thin place. And it sort of represents the fact that we think, you know, we often picture heaven is way, way, way somewhere out there, up there.
Mm.
But actually, it's not very far at all away from us. And you could almost reach up your hand. It's so close and it's all around us through God's creation, through people. So much to this subject. I'm really excited to see where it's going to go.
How can we bring a bit of heaven to earth then?
Yeah. Okay, Sue, how can we?
Well, I think Neil said, I think going to those places where Jesus would go to, I think I'm a big advocate for voluntary work, actually, and going into dark places or different places to ours,
absolutely. There's so much need in the world.
Definitely. And I think if we've got Jesus with us, we take that light into those places with us, actually. But praying for people and just getting alongside people.
I was thinking when Neil was speaking about, you know, the places in the world, and I thought there's so many places in the world that need heaven to invade.
Yeah.
And that's only going to happen until Jesus comes back through us.
Exactly.
You know, the people. And even, you know, bringing it closer to home. I've got someone very dear to me that's very, very poorly. And you just want to somehow bring heaven into that person's life.
Yeah.
And you hope, don't you, that through the life of Christ in you, that you're doing that somehow. And I think we probably do and we don't always realise it.
Yeah.
You know, I remember someone saying to me that they thought they'd become a better person because of my faith. And I thought, well, wow, that really surprised me because I didn't know it was having any impact. So,
And I think reality is we never are made aware of the impact that what we do for people because of what Jesus has done for us, really.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, I often think that we don't know, we probably won't know this side of heaven,
don't need to.
How many people we might have impacted just with a little conversation or a prayer that we've said. We don't always actually see the outworking of our prayers, but it doesn't mean that you know, God isn't doing things. And I suppose ultimately it just shows that God loves us so much that he knows we're living in a fallen world, but he wants to give us the opportunity to walk in a better world and to bring that better world down here. And it just makes you want to love him all the more, really. And I think when you get to that stage, because we all start off as a baby Christian, don't we? And gradually, as you go on through your life and you love Jesus all the more, I think all the more do you want to bring heaven down to earth. And share that with other people.
So I think I'd say if anyone's got any questions following that sermon or even things that we might have said, you're very welcome to email into the church with got questions at holybaptist.org.uk.
It's been lovely having you all with us.
Thank you for joining
us. And we hope it's impacted you as much as it's impacted us. We look forward to the next sermon.
Bye.
Bye.
That was today's episode of the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We hope this prompted you to want to follow Jesus even just a little bit more closely. If you have any questions about what you've heard in today's episode, or you want to know more about what it means to follow Jesus, you can email us at gotquestions@hawleybaptist.org.uk. We would love to hear from you. It would really make our day. If you want to hear more from us, just a reminder that you can subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can access that and our YouTube channel by heading to hawleybaptist.org.uk/media. Thank you again for listening to the Hawley Baptist Church podcast. We pray God will bless you, and we will see you next time.